area. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
Hi, this is Shasta Cole, and I'm standing in today for Mr. Eric Jackson. And today we will be discussing the topic of the difference between love and being in love. And let me start by saying love isn't a decision. It's a feeling. And if we could decide who we love, it'd be much simpler, but I imagine much less magical. I wanted to start by getting some background on what it is to love, or a definition, I guess, if you will. To love is to cherish, to be kind to want to spend time with. If you're married or you're in a relationship, then you can relate to some of the stuff I'm saying. To respect, to enjoy, to trust, to want to know better. Really, the list is too lengthy, and anybody could add things to the list. So, and then there is to be in love. And to be in love is to be smitten, infatuated with, hooked on, taken with. You know, people say, oh, you know, I'm head over heels for him. He swept me off my feet. You know, we've heard all of that. So then there, that's the difference between love and being in love. And I guess my question is, what's the real difference between the two? What is there a difference? I'm sure we talk with friends about different relationships that we're in. Oftentimes, I guess in my own past, I have been in love for a short period of time. It was something about that person that I was just so attracted to or so taken with, or the thought that we could be more of something. That was my in love, and to me that was a temporary phase. That definitely wasn't that everlasting thing. So to me, there is a difference. And to get some other opinions, it says, the way you put it, it seems that to be in love with someone is infatuated. If infatuation is also temporary, it's when you feel like you need to be with someone, like they're the only person you could ever be with, and you can't stop thinking about them. And when you love someone, that means you care about them more than you care about yourself. Love is important. So I could see love being by itself, and then being in love being a whole nother topic or a whole nother situation. Another opinion on that is true love is unselfish, caring, respectful, and trusting. And when you have that foundation to start with, you have a much stronger bond. I agree with that. You end up being in love with and loving that person for everything they are, faults and all. And just a quick story, it's not mine, but he said, I settled before and I thought I was in love, but it didn't last. I love that person as a person, but the in love was not present and the relationship didn't last. And once you've met your true love, your soulmate, both kinds of love are present, and it's absolutely wonderful. He said, you'll look back and realize that you didn't know what love was at all, and at least not the kind of love that's real, true, and long-lasting. The kind of love that gets you through anything together. So in my opinion, you have to be in love and love the person in order to experience real happiness and long-lasting marriage or relationship. He said, well, it takes balance, not more or one more than the other. Too much of anything isn't good. And that was Jen's comment. As we talk about being in love and love, I'm actually looking at other comments or other opinions of the subject. Someone said, love washes over a multitude of things. It's a choice. To be in love is a temporary, not a resolved, confident, and determined me. Kind of like what I said. Being in love is a temporary time. Maybe in the beginning you could say we were in love, and then over time, I grew to love that person. So now, you know, I'm in a loving relationship. I want to know what you all think. On the chat room, you know, let me know what's on your mind in reference to your relationships you've been in, or relationships that you've seen in a distance. Let me know what you think. I want to know what you think. A question for you to ponder. If you're in a relationship and someone that you love or in love with said to you, I love you, I adore you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, what are they really saying to you? And how would you feel about that? What would you say? What would you do? The question was, if you're in a relationship and someone that you loved or were in love with said to you, I love you, I adore you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, what are they really saying to you? Let me know how you would feel about it, what you would say, and what you would do. Would that be the end of the relationship? Would that be over for you? Would you take that as meaning we need to add some spice to our life? We need to figure out what it is that where we fell out of love. I mean, let me know how you would take the question. Let's see. As far as my past relationships, because I guess since it's me in the studio today, we're going to be looking at me and my life. That's the only thing I could really compare it with. I wouldn't want to use someone else. So, have you ever felt that you're only sticking around with someone because of how you felt that happy moment, that in love feeling? You know, like it's like you're waiting around for that moment to come again. You know that it's dead and gone. You know that there's no longer anything there. What keeps you? Is it the in love period, the fact that you're, I don't know, you want to put a spark back in the relationship, add more passion to it? Because to me, that's what in love is. When you have, I don't know, passion and the rush of excitement and all that good stuff. But we also talked about how being in love was temporary. It feels good that way to some, and some people will rather have that, you know, that real, no flaw, no limit love. Meaning you don't love me for the moment, you love me for always, no matter what. No matter what actions, no matter what I do, that would be the real love. Something else that I wanted to talk about are the 15 signs, according to modernmom.com, 15 signs of falling in love. They say daydreaming, that many lovers find their mind wandering even during important tasks, and they find themselves daydreaming about their new lover and their potential future life together. So one of the ways that you might be falling in love is you're daydreaming. Find yourself daydreaming. Easy communication. Many individuals falling in love are amazed by the ease with which they communicate with their new partner. So it's easy to talk to this person. According to Psychology Today, the ability to communicate easily with a potential mate likely means that you trust the person and are at least in partly in love with them. So that's interesting to know. Bragging. When you're, I guess, a sign of being in love with someone is bragging. You're smitten kittens commonly brag about their partner to anyone who will hang around long enough to listen. So I guess if you're really in love with somebody, you want everybody to know. And according to Glamour magazine, if you can't help but make boastful comments about your newest partner, love is likely on the horizon. So bragging about somebody and being boastful about their accomplishments or your accomplishments with them, they take that as you being in love or potentially falling in love. If you're willing to rub your new man or woman's back, tired feet, or give him or her 3-hour back massage, you're likely motivated by the budding love that you feel for your newest heartthrob. So being selfless and doing something for somebody else. Hobby hopping. If you find yourself willing to trade in your scrapbooking materials for a set of golf clubs or season tickets to the Lakers, you're likely more than just a little into your current partner. You could be in love because you find yourself changing different things about you to suit the new person or to find a new interest in something that they're interested in. So compromising might be another sign that you're in love. You're willing to compromise with someone that you're interested in. Compromising is necessary in any relationship, but many people still resist giving in to these give and take arrangements. If you feel like you actually want to make compromises, you may just be falling in love. That's a good thing. I like that. I like the fact that compromising could equal that you care about a person more than you care about yourself. Changing. To make a relationship work, at least small amounts of change are commonly necessary. That's a big one, that to be in love, you're willing to change. Something about you, maybe that is hard to change, but if you're in love, are you willing to do what you have to do? Changing. If you find yourself not loathing, but instead looking forward to making these life modifications, you're likely in love. So some things that you've been dreading to do and you've just been dragging your feet on it, but when you get around this person, they just motivate you to want to do whatever it is. You know, I've been needing to get my car fixed, and I just don't know anything about cars. But whenever Henry comes around, boy, he gets me going, gets me calling these different car shops and trying to get these different quotes, and, you know, he gets to come around, I smell his cologne. So you see what I'm saying? You motivated. You make changes when there's a chance that you may be in love. Emotions, happiness. Being in love is almost universally euphoria-inducing. So all around, makes you feel good. If you find yourself a little bit more cheery as of late, you may be entering the throes of love. So you've just been more happier than usual for some odd kind of reason. Feeling some kind of way, bright and cheery. It could be love. You could be falling in love. Connection. Most people reserve emotional connections for family members or individuals of major importance in their lives. If you feel an unexplainable, strong emotional connection to your new partner, you're likely entering a love affair. Isn't that just sweet? Just because you just feel this strong connection to this other person. That's different from the connection that you have to your mom or your dad or a sister or a brother or a cousin. You know that this is different. So you could be in love or about to fall in love. Let's see, if you find yourself concerned about your partner's physical and emotional well-being, even if there's no reason to think that he's not okay, you're likely in love with the new person in your life. You start noticing little things about him. You know, maybe he's held his side, and you know men, they have nothing against men, but oftentimes when men feel some kind of way about their health, they're going to hide it. That's not something they really want you to know. And, you know, maybe somebody who's not as interested in them, if he doesn't show it to be a big deal, wouldn't be a big deal to them either. But I'm saying if you're in love with this person, maybe you'll take a little bit more concern. Are you okay? You know, do you need to get that checked out? Would you like for me to accompany you? Just the things that you'll do for someone above and beyond could be an indication of you falling in love or being in love. Physical indications. Physical indications. That makes me think of butterflies right away. Like, dating a guy, before he would come home around the same time that I would know it was time for him to get off, I would get the butterflies. Just, oh my gosh, this excitement. Oh, he's going to be here. Is everything okay? Is the house clean? Is the food taste good? You know, physical indications, tingling, the fabled tingling that has been long associated with falling in love may be more than just a myth. According to Psychology Today, according to a study, many individuals falling in love actually do experience a palpable tingling sensation. So see, it's true. that if you're tingling, they found it, hey, it could be a sign you're falling in love. I mean, but if you're tingling at the wrong time, then you may need to get checked out. That could be a medical condition. I'm just saying, associated with being in love, tingling, I can agree with that. Desires, okay, that's cool. Desires is one of the 15 indicators that you could be falling in love. And what I mean by that is constant togetherness. Individuals falling in love often want to be with the object of their affection at all times. That's true. When I'm falling in love, I want to be around you all the time. If you're going to the Advanced Auto Parts, I want to go too. I probably don't know anything about a car or the part that we're putting on the car, but since I am in love with you, I just want to accompany you and breathe the same air you breathe on the way. You see? Constant togetherness could be a sign of you being in love. If you find that your new partner is oxygen to you, you likely more than just like the individual. Regular communication is another one. According to Glamour magazine, individuals entering a hot and heavy romance often engage in almost constant communication. This includes rapid texting. And that's funny because when I'm interested, I guess I text a lot too. I mean, I'm the texting queen already. Like, I'm good at that. I think I probably text like 55 words per minute. That's probably bad in the mobile region of things. But back to the point, rapid texting could indicate you're in love with somebody. You just can't stop texting them. Got to text you right now. Are you texting back? I got to know what you're feeling. Where you at? What you doing? Facebooking could probably go in there too. Constantly checking their Facebook page. You know, you guys trying to make sure you change relationship statuses. That constant togetherness. We want everybody to know. Possessing love. Some people wait ages to finally tell a partner that they love him or her. Individuals commonly engage in this play-it-safe waiting game to ensure they don't end up getting hurt by someone who doesn't return their feelings. However, if you're truly falling in love, you may find it impossible not to profess these emotions, regardless of how illogical the profession may be. Meaning, you know, this is overwhelming. This is taking it in for me. I just have to let you know that I'm interested. You know, when I see you, my eyes hit yours. It's just this feeling that I get. I like this shirt that you have. It sounds childish, but basically how you feel about the person. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a break so that we can talk to the people in the chat room and we can also take time for callers to call in and let us know what they think about this love and in love thing. Is there a difference? Are there any real distinct differences between loving someone and being in love with someone? Do you need to have both of them? Can you have one without the other? Vice versa? We'll be back in two and you let me know what you think.
Thank you.
everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Shasta Cole, standing in for Mr. Eric Jackson today. If you would like to call in with any comments or questions, you can dial 347-838-8622. Or you can hit us up in the chat room at ericletstalk@gmail.com. That's ericletstalk@gmail.com. And the topic of our conversation today is love and being in love. Is there a real difference between the two? Do you have to have both of them? Do you have to be in love with the person that you love? One way that I wanted to look at it, I was having a conversation with a friend girl of mine about this in general. In terms of marriage, when you marry someone, you're saying you're loving them for better or worse, through sickness and health, you know, death do us part. All these reasons, you know, all these things, this is a commitment. This is supposed to be, it's more than just an infatuation. This is supposed to be a commitment. That's a duty. We'll say it like that. I'll use the word duty. That when you marry someone, you have a duty to them rather than just this being your boyfriend and girlfriend that you love. We've established a duty. Well, what happens within that duty or what happens within that union that you've made when you're not in love anymore? Do you feel like, obviously I said duty, that's strong. So you have a duty to stay there. Even though you're not in love anymore, you feel like there's some things missing, whether that be passionately, mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, passionate was a strong word. But you know what I mean. Whether there's something lacking in the bedroom, whatever reasons there may be, if you're not in love with that person anymore, what does that mean? Going to the chat room, we have Lysandra Turner. She said, if they tell you that they're not in love with you, you should just move on and let that go because it's not going anywhere. Okay. Is that if you're married? What if you're married? And that person said the same thing. I adore you. I think I had looked at that. The exact question that I had was, you know, they're saying, I adore you. You mean everything to me. You know, I wish I could be with someone like you in the future. I can't stop thinking about you. I'm just not in love with you. What are they really saying? What are they really saying? Love washes over a multitude of things. It's a choice. To be in love is a temporary me, not a resolved, confident, and determined me. That love, I'm going to love you forever. Yes, that love. But back to what we were discussing before break, I was giving you 15 ways to know that you're falling in love. And I'm sure there are others that we can add to this. But 15 research ways by myself, Shasta, ways of falling in love. We had talked about actions, such as daydreaming. We talked about physical feelings. We talked about bragging. We talked about boasting, doing something above and beyond for a person, such as back massage. Switching hobbies, changing something that you always do for something that they like to do, compromising, wanting to share, changing to make a relationship work, you know, lots of changes necessary. Happiness. If you find yourself concerned about your partner's physical and emotional well-being, their desires, the desire to be together was a good indication of falling in love. Let's see. I think the biggest of those was, you know, change, you know, trying to make a relationship work. Everything isn't perfect. looking back in the chat room, it says if you're married, then you should sit down and talk about things and see where things went wrong and see what you need to do to get back to where you once were in love with one another. Okay, so you're saying if you're married, you have a duty to work it out. If we say that we're in love, we were in love, but I'm not in love with you anymore, now we need to sit down and discuss it. Whereas you might have just walked out if you weren't married, you have a duty to sit down now and discuss this. We have to be adults. Adult to adult, having respect. I think that's part of loving someone as well, is the respect factor that comes into that. And being able to communicate the way you communicate with another person. Adult to adult, not adult to child. Because I guess communication isn't going to be a steady flow one way to the other if one of the people feel like they're being belittled in terms of you sharing how you feel. So I guess it could be affected by different things. Being in love with someone, wanting to spend the rest of your life with that person, wanting to have children with them, marriage, wanting to spend every moment with them, even when you're alone, loving somebody. Loving someone is in the things you do, in the good times and the bad. And I'm pretty sure everybody can agree with that's what love is, you know, sticking around, you know, even when I don't have anything to offer you, even when in this relationship that we have, there's nothing you can take from this. Because oftentimes we can get to that point where I don't have anything to give you except for maybe my conversation and my point of view. I can't give you anything financially. I can't help you do anything physically that may benefit you. This is going to have to be, you know, purely just you being you and me being me. And that's what love is. It's based on dependability, compassion, respect, and compromise. And if you don't share these same values, with each other, then maybe it's infatuation and not love. So maybe you have to look at that. I'm going to say that one more time just for anyone who might have been a little bit slower getting that. Being in love is based on dependability, compassion, respect, and compromise. We mentioned compromise before as signs that you were in love. And if you don't share those points or qualities with each other, then it could just be infatuation and not really love. Now, loving someone. Now, loving someone is it's different. You want the best for them. You encourage them to do good things. You don't want to see them down or upset. You're their shoulder to lean on. You genuinely want them to be in your life. And it wouldn't be the same. It would not be the same without them. And you'll do anything for them. You try your hardest not to disappoint them. See, that was love. It's a little bit different. I can see the difference between being in love and loving. Now, I do see how, you know, they could be used interchangeably, or we could say, you know, I love someone and I'm in love with them. I mean, if you have it like that, you know, more power to you. That has to be a good feeling and a good situation to be in. But like I said, loving, just loving, is a lot. It's genuine. You genuinely want them to be a part. All the things that I said for loving someone are also included in being in love. That's what I meant by being able to use it interchangeably. You can say the same things for someone if you're loving them, you know, or if you're in love with them. You could say, I can't be without this person. You know, I can't sleep without you at night. So I guess, you know, being in love with them doesn't mean that you don't have that deep, those deep feelings just because you're in love. So it could and could not mean that you're just infatuated, but let's see. I'm in the chat room. Call us. Let us know what you think. I want to know what you're thinking on the subject. You can call us at 347-838-8622. Or you can hit me up in the chat room at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Is there a difference between love and loving someone? Is there a difference? We know how we feel when we love people, and we know how we feel when we're in love with people. Can we both love and be in love with people at the same time? Is that possible? I want to know what other people think. I personally think that you can have the two, or I believe that sometimes you can fall out of love with people, and that may not be a reconciled out of love. That may have to be, I fell out of love, I have to move on. You know, whatever it was that we were lacking, I don't see myself getting it. That's missing. Obviously, that's what is the link, and I have to move on. Let's see. As far as the definition goes, we'll look back at the definition. To love someone is to feel a strong desire to have a close physical and or emotional relationship with a certain individual. And to be in love is to have that close physical and or emotional relationship with that certain someone and receive the same love in return from that person. So, being in love, you want that to be interchangeable. I love you, you love me. We both want to feel in love. I guess to be in love, you have to question the other person. Are you in love with me like I'm in love with you? I need to confirm that I'm in love. I think being in love has to be confirmed. It can't be one person's in love but the other person's not, right? Or then does it just turn into love? I love that person. Because being in love means the other person is with you. It's an agreement that y'all made to be together. Y'all are in love. What do you think? The way you communicate, that was important with loving someone and being in love with someone. The way you communicate is solely important. Trust is important. If your trust is tarnished with someone that you love, could you be in love with that person again? You know, is that something that you could come away from and say, you know what? I love you so much that I'm willing to find out where we fell out of love to see if we can't continue. Love is complicated. Love is complicated. And sometimes the word is used rather loosely. So I would believe that we would need to know what we mean when we say we love someone. What do we mean exactly? Does that mean you can't live without me? And we need to look deeper into the situation and see where we can go with this, what goals we can start accomplishing with each other. You know, what can we do now that we know that we are in love, and we agree, because I said being in love was agreeing with the other person that you're in love. It's not a one-sided, I'm in love and the other person's not, because then I guess you just love them. Let's see here. I'm looking on the chat room to see what you think. What's the difference between loving someone and being in love with someone? What's the difference between love and lust? I guess, you know, you have to break it down a little bit further. You know, how do I know that this is really love? Is it love or, you know, is it lust? Am I just lusting after that person? Signs that you're lusting. You're totally focused on a person's looks and body. You're interested in having sex, but not in having conversations. Then you're lusting. That's what happens when you're lusting. You'd rather keep the relationship on a fantasy level and not discuss real feelings. Obviously, if you were if it were love, if you were in love, then you could freely communicate how you felt with the person back and forth. So if that's not the level that you're on, obviously it's not love, that would be lust. You want to leave soon after sex rather than cuddling or breakfast the next morning. Those are signs of lust. Love is, you know, let's spoon with each other, you know, let's entangle our legs after this, I love you. But if he's ready to go, she's ready to go, that's lust, it's not love. Signs that it's lust, if you're lovers but not friends, you don't really know this person. As far as you know them, is in the bedroom. So you can't, you know, we oftentimes confuse the feelings that we have sexually toward a person as love. No, if you are lovers but not friends, that's lust. Signs of love, if you want to spend quality time together other than sex, other than in the bedroom, you know, let's go hang out, let's go take walks at the park, let's go hold hands at the mall, let's go look cute and kiss at a restaurant, things like that. You're love. You're good. You're on the right path. You're in love. You get lost in conversations and forget about the hours passing. You enjoy talking to each other. Constant conversation. It just surprises you how easy it is for you to talk to this other person. You're amazed. You know, I could never talk to someone like I'm talking to you right now. We just speak so easily. You almost always know what I'm thinking. It's weird how we're on the same brainwave. That's love. It's not lust. That's what we call love. Love. You want to honestly listen to each other's feelings. Make each other happy. You know, if I'm feeling down or you're feeling down, you know, I might say a quirky joke, something nerdy, something corny, just to make you laugh because you feel down, I feel down, and I want to make you happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. Love. Those are signs of love. He or she motivates you to be a better person. That's a strong one. That's a strong one. Another show that I was on with Mr. Eric, we talked about motivating people in your life, having people around you who motivate you. So it's definitely cool for your love to be a person that motivates you to be a better you. You know, if you have goals and aspirations and things that you would like to do with your life, you know what? I support you doing that. I'm not going to hinder that in any way. I'm not going to be a stumbling block. I want to be here for you. I'm cheering you on because I love you. Another sign of love. You want to get to meet his or her family members. Hey, I love you. There's no need for us to keep this a secret. Let's tell everyone I love you from the rooftops. Okay? Another challenge of sexual attraction is learning to stay centered and listen to your gut in the early stages of being with someone. This isn't easy in the midst of hormone surging, but it's essential to make healthy relationship decisions. Here are some tips to keep your presence of mind when you're attracted to someone. Here's some tips to help you keep your presence of mind when you're attracted to someone. This needn't pull the plug on your passion, but it'll make you much more aware so you don't go looking for trouble. So this is going to help with, you know, being sexually attracted, but being able to stand your ground. You know, you don't want to give off anything negative. So let's see. We're going to start with Well, give me just a second. I'm in the chat room. Looking at a comment in reference. Well, Hi, welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host today, standing in for Mr. Eric Jackson. My name is Shasta Cole, and today we're talking about the difference between love and being in love. We were just discussing lust and love, knowing the difference between that being a lustful attraction to someone and whether or not you really love them. Now we'll talk about infatuation and love. And oftentimes, love and infatuation are confused with each other in relationships and daily life. Telling their differences can be blurry and confusing when trying to distinguish between the two. And in the different cases, we're going to weigh the example to determine the characteristics that each is made of. So for one, evaluate your belief on love and stick to that belief. Find out what love is to you so that it's clearly defined and that you can use it for guidance from here on out. Your emotions can change, but at least you'll have a rough draft of what love is to you now, as far as being able to tell the difference between infatuation and love. Two, observe the current behavior in your relationship. What are the characteristics of what you feel, and what is the object your affection feels towards you? Ask them to describe to you, so your spouse, the person that you're with, the person that you feel that you may love or be in love with. This is what you're asking them. You're asking them to describe to you that affection that they feel towards you. That's something that you should be able to ask them, and they should be able to ask you. We love each other. We should be able to freely discuss this love that we have. So ask them to describe to you, if possible, and find out what they would describe it as. The object of the affection they feel towards you. What would they describe it as? Remember your definition of love that I said when I said find out what love is to you and define it and use it for guidance for yourself. Well, after, you know, they tell you what their object of affection is for you, compare that to the definition of love that you made for yourself. What are the results from that? How does that mirror your definition of love for yourself and what you feel you deserve compared to what this person's, what the object of affection they feel for you? Test the boundaries of what you believe. Notice the lengths that the other person will go for you. And if it seems they're pushing too hard, too fast, infatuation will not carry the person far for a long time. So it takes time. That love thing, if it's really real, it's going to take time. It just is. So there's no rushing it. Also, when someone goes through sunny and rainy days with them, then you know that they're there to stay for a while. You know, trouble doesn't last always, but I want to know that if something goes on in my life, if I love you, I can depend on you. This is not an infatuation. This is me knowing that this is love. I love you. See things for what they are and be honest with yourself. Sometimes we tend to bend reality slightly to make things fit that don't otherwise belong. I mean, if you notice that the comments and conversation are only superficial or that they only speak of one specific area, you know, when they're with you, then that may be an infatuated part of you and not love all of you at the same time. For example, the girl who can't stop talking about her boyfriend's car. Obviously, she doesn't love him. She's infatuated with this car. So set things for yourself. See things for yourself and be honest with yourself. And don't bend reality to make things fit that don't otherwise belong. Compare it to a loving relationship you know of. Your relationship doesn't have to exactly be the same as someone else's, but if you can clearly observe the differences, then this might be a flag of something that you could be keying in on. Like, you know, we got some differences here. So those are ways to tell love from infatuation. The ways to tell that you're in love, you know, real love, not lust because I'm attracted to what you look like, No, we're talking about love. Dating is a lot of fun, especially when a relationship just begins. When it's new, it's awesome because we're just learning about each other. There's a mutual attraction, and it's exciting. It's new and it's exciting. So that beginning, that blooming, it's awesome. But how do you know if you're falling in love or if it's just a deep infatuation? You know, how do you know? We already talked about infatuation. Let's discuss now some signs to tell if you're falling in love. Butterflies. I think I mentioned them earlier in the show. Butterflies, you know, that I had butterflies. When I knew he was coming home at a certain amount of time, boy, you know, you just feel this feeling. It's a feeling of butterflies in your stomach or feeling as if you're on a roller coaster running down a large hill. It occurs when two people are falling in love. Adrenaline is released from your body and your brain when this happens. And it's normal and it's pleasant and it's awesome. You know, butterflies, that little piece of nervousness that you feel. Focus in on the conversation. When it's love, a person can't seem to stop talking about the person, you know, he or she is falling in love with. You know, if I'm in love, you just can't help but mention that person, you know, you are around other people. No matter what the subject is or who he is or who she is, you always seem to find a way to bring that person up. Always seem to find a way to bring up their name, something about them. That's love. Being together, we talked a little bit about that, about the connection. People in love naturally like to spend time together. They notice that they want to spend time together more and more. And, it's, you know, you're falling in love. So spending time together is key to falling in love and being in love, giving the other person your time. New lovers or new people who are interested in each other in a relationship sense spend valuable time off from work, like weekends and holidays together, and they spend less time with their friends. Not that is a good or bad thing, but because, you know, you're interested in that person and you feel great when you're around them, then you spend more time with them and maybe less with friends. You help each other. People in love will go out of their way to help the other person. If, for example, a woman calls her boyfriend to help her change a tire in the middle of the night, far away, it's raining, if he loves her, he will, and vice versa. And that's the way it'll work. Being yourself. Two people in love find they're comfortable around one another, and they can be themselves. So that mask on your face when you wake up in the morning, you might wake up without that wig that you normally have on. You just feel comfortable around that person. You might even use the bathroom with the door open. You know, that's a level of comfort that you have when you love a person. I think, you know, you can get that comfortable. Family and friends. A person in love wants his or her family and friends to meet the other person. We talked about that briefly, that if a relationship is getting pretty serious and it's very important to that person or to yourself, you know, you want to show the person, you want to show the other person off. You want people to see them and know, you know, this is that girl I was talking about, or hey, this is that handsome guy that I was telling you about from work, or you know, you want to let other people know about them. Life plans, love. When we're in lust, obviously we don't have time to make life plans because it's just boom, boom, bam. But when we love someone or we're in love, we may be discussing life plans, not being able to imagine life without the other person. And incorporating his life or her life into your plans is a sign of love. Decisions such as where to go to college, where to live, whether or not to take a job, all those are examples of plans that you make when you are in love or you love a person. Marriage and children, you're going to have that conversation. If this is love and not lust or an infatuation, we're going to discuss our personal lives, whether you have children, whether I have children. You know, whether or not we want to spend, you know, our lives together and start children with each other. And although not every relationship with two people who love each other moves on to the next stage of marriage, it is a sign of love if the two are seriously considering it. Also, the desire to have children together is another sign of love. So those are signs that you are in love with someone. So now we know about love, being in love, signs and symptoms of infatuation, things like that. What about signs and ways that you know you're falling out of love? How do you know that this is over and done with? I'm wasting my time. We need to move on. We had someone in the chat room earlier that was saying when you're no longer interested in a person, it's time to move on. So going back to moving on, let's look at, you know, when we're falling out of love. The word love itself is a subject to many different people. Has many different meanings, different levels that you put it on, different people that you attach it to, whether that be family members or a special someone. However, there are some sure signs that moving on would be better than sticking it out. Here's some signs and symptoms of falling out of love. And looking in the chat room, I would like to acknowledge, you know, some people that are in the chat room. He said less patience and low tolerance. That is so true. That is really true. Less patience and low tolerance. You want the relationship to end. The most obvious sign is the feeling inside that you don't want to be in the relationship anymore. You know, this is not where I want to be. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't know where it went wrong, but you no longer want to be around that person, and you find yourself asking friends if you should call it quits on the relationship. You stop making an effort to keep up the partnership. You're leaving it one-sided. Who's the guy on the screen in the chat room? Things you used to like now annoy you. The guy on the screen, that's Mr. Eric Jackson. I am taking over for him in the studio today. I am Shasta Cole. And let's see, it says things that you used to like now annoy you, and little things become big things to you. Yes. And that's in the chat room, and he's commenting on signs and symptoms of falling out of love, you know, different ways that you know that you're falling out of love. He said little things become big things to you. You want to blow it out of proportion because I don't want to be with you anymore. We need to go our separate way. You stop making an effort to keep up the partnership. You leave it a one-sided game. You might even find it hard to tell the other person those three little words. And we know what those are. I love you. Being turned off by your partner. You might be falling out of love if everything your significant other does makes your skin crawl. Of course, this could be caused by, you know, spending too much time together. But if you have adequate time apart, meaning you have a job, she has a job, and you're still not attracted to him or her, there's a much bigger issue. So if you're turned off by your partner, you may not want to be physical with your partner or even talk. Those are signs that you could be falling out of love. Straying is a big one, a big sign that you're falling out of love. It's the ultimate sign, actually. You're already having an intimate relationship with someone else without your partner knowing. In other words, you're cheating. Maybe you haven't cheated yet, but everyone around you, your coworkers, delivery people, everyone except your partner seems interested. You know, they feel the feelings. You know, cheating or wanting to cheat. All of those are signs and symptoms of falling out of love. So you're no longer in love. You fell out of love. It's time to move on. Let that person know. Don't lead them on. You know, we were discussing love and the differences between love and being in love. We've discussed infatuation and lust. We also have discussed what it is for signs and symptoms in falling out of love. So all of these are really important in terms of all these things are important in terms of a relationship and knowing what you really want out of a relationship with someone and being able to tell them that. That's really important for you to know what you want. If you meet someone new and they ask you what you want out of a relationship, I think it's time that you evaluate yourself. You pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and you divide the page if you need to, and you write your positives and negatives as well. Because some of the things that you need to improve on or work on are going to be able to help you in future relationships and choosing your happiness and what you will and will not tolerate. Going back into the chat room, as far as reasons to know that you're falling out of love, it says sometimes it happens fast, other times not so fast, which is true. He said, and sometimes even though you haven't cheated physically, mentally and emotionally, you've also been unfaithful. That's true, your thought process. You're not being faithful through your thought process. So, yes, that's definitely a sign that you're falling out of love. How about you guys give us a call? Let me know what you think. Is there a real difference between love and being in love? Do you all have any other signs and symptoms of falling out of love? What is love to you? You know, what is love? Other than becoming distant, cheating, breaking up, bad habits, arguing, you know, what are some other signs of falling out of love? I mentioned arguing. Obviously, we pick fights over anything. We want the partner to end the relationship. Let's think of anything. You forgot to pick up the milk today. We want to make you responsible for whatever happens so we can make this a clean break. So arguing. Unnecessary arguments are obviously a big sign of going in the dump relationship. Becoming distant. When a person's fallen out of love, they become distant as time goes on. So if it's a woman, she may avoid physical affection or act frustrated by it. She'll begin to communicate her feelings less often. So, you know, most women, we tell you how we feel. I mean, if it gets to the point where she can't even tell you how she feels, and then it's difficult for you to convince her to open up and tell you how she feels, definitely that becoming distant could be a sign of an in-the-dump relationship or a relationship that's fell over the edge. Breaking up, you know, we discussed not being with someone, you know, no longer wanting to be with them for whatever reason, breaking up. Bad habits. In the beginning of a relationship, couples discover quirky habits. You know, feet stink, he has athlete's feet, he has his mole behind his ear, just anything. We find habits that the other person has, and, you know, it may be something cute. But as the relationship progresses, if the feeling that we have for that person begins to weaken, then those habits can start becoming annoying. Something that we didn't look at to be such a big deal at first, now we let those things lead the argument. This is the reason why. That ugly mole behind your ear is the reason why we are arguing today, and I don't think we need to be together anymore. So see how that could have led to something a lot worse just based off of trying to find an argument, anything to argue over. Let's see. Also, we had we mentioned cheating as a way, spending time apart, all those things. Any other reasons, anything that I'm leaving out? I don't know everything. So I need y'all in the chat room letting me know, are there any differences between love and being in love? Are there any other signs of falling in out of love that we need to know? Maybe somebody right now doesn't really know whether or not they're in love right now, whether or not they're loving the situation, whether or not they're in love. And maybe these signs are helping them to know what it is to be falling out of love. Let's see. In the chat room, it says, it becomes a pretty nasty spiral. That's true. Infidelity, the big no-no. All of those are symptoms that you could be falling out of love. How about for men, I'm a woman, but for guys, even more, it can be difficult to even admit that they're falling in love. So for all the women who may be listening, now you know that it can be difficult for a guy to admit he's falling in love. No matter how tough or how cool, it'll come a time when a guy will meet a girl and his knees will turn into spaghetti and his heart turns into mush and he's just in love and he has to tell her how he feels. If not, it could turn into sleeplessness. If he's finding it hard to fall asleep at night because he's thinking nonstop about the girl, then he might be falling in love with her. Add a few bonus points, if you get all tingly and sappy and fuzzy, we talked about the butterflies as far as, but this is for men in general, you know, this is how you know you're falling in love. Distractions. If you're constantly distracted by this girl, then maybe love can be in the air for you. This includes not being able to concentrate on studying for school. I'm a college student. So, I mean, if you're in class, man, and this girl's got you distracted by that ponytail holder that she's got, you're probably into her. Or making easy mistakes on the job just because you simply are not focused. Eating. Most guys have a big appetite, but when they become interested in a female, they might eat less. You don't want to seem like a pig in front of the girl, so you might eat a little bit less, and that may show that you have an interest for this woman or that you like her. An appearance. A guy who normally has a normal appearance, doesn't really care about his clothes, doesn't really care about much. All of a sudden, a guy wants to look immaculate. He wants to be presentable. He wants to be the object of her affection. He's getting up early to shave. He's putting on that aftershave stuff that smells so good. He's putting on his Axe deodorant. He's got the good stuff on today because, you know, he's thinking, this is love. I'm about to fall in love. If jealousy, if a guy experiences a healthy dose of jealousy because he thinks his girl's doing something without him, then he's probably in love. He feels a little, you know, just to think that he could be jealous of this other guy. You know, who is he? But because you're jealous, it could be you're slightly in love. You could have been hurt because she went rollerblading with the best friend and he's a guy over the weekend, and you wonder why she never told you about it. You might be dealing with a slight case of the green-eyed monster jealousy. So it's okay. You're interested. Just let her know you're interested. Stop being so jealous. I'm interested. I like you. Yep, I like you. So we've discussed the differences between being loved and in love. We've discussed lust. We've discussed infatuation. Signs that you're falling in love. Signs that you're falling out of love. We're just talking about love today. And I want to know what you're thinking. I'm sure everybody has fell in love, is in love, has lots of thoughts. Call in. Let me know what you think. You can call in at area code 347-838-8622. Or you can hit us on the chat line at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Now we're going to talk about signs, women. We were just talking to the men, signs that, you know, he might be falling in love, but this is for women. We're talking to the women now. The signs that he can't commit. What are some signs that he can't commit? You know, you've been talking to this guy for a long time. Let's see. What do we constitute a long time, ladies? Okay, we'll just give it 2 weeks. 2-3 weeks, we've been talking to him, and it's not working. It's not working. And why would he not be able to commit? He spends the night over your house 4 or 5 times a week. Everything seems to be okay. He even lets you drive his car. Why won't he commit? Maybe because he's not over his ex. You've hung out with him for several months, but he hasn't committed to you. That's a good sign that he's still in love with his ex-girlfriend, including him speaking about her in a positive or negative manner. Or he still has a framed picture of her tucked under his boxers in the drawer. Until he gets over her, you're just going to be the girl he's dating. So make sure that he's over his ex. Or that could be a sign that he's not going to commit. Other people. If your boyfriend has a reputation as a serial dater, he dates everybody. Everywhere you go, this is some other girl that he knew from some other time that they worked together and were co-workers. If you guys haven't had the exclusive relationship talk, one reason he may not be able to commit is because somebody else is in the picture, diverting his attention from you. And some men like to date several women to keep their options open before they make a decision. Unfortunately, the end result may wind up with a breakup. So make sure that, you know, all the signs for lying about where he's going, mysterious schedules, and long periods of non-communication. All of those could be him not being able to commit. He's happy. He's the type of guy incapable of a committed relationship because he likes his life that way. You know, he just wants to be single. His reason for not being committed, he just enjoys his freedom to do as he pleases. His priorities are his friends, his work, hobbies, and then you. One sign includes breaking dates with you to hang out with his buddies. Another sign would be if he prefers to work overtime instead of taking you to dinner. He's happy. Stop trying to change him. Move on. He's not going to commit. He's not ready for responsibility. Being in a committed relationship requires responsibility. He's not ready for. Okay, he refuses to go to a family wedding or gatherings with you. Another sign is he avoids you when you're sick. What guy who loves you won't be stuffing chicken soup down your neck and giving you Robitussin every time you cough? You know, he'll bring you chicken soup, but he doesn't want the responsibility of giving you medication or wiping your eyebrow if you have a little fever, you know. Consideration. If you feel he can't commit to you, you don't have to break off the relationship. Have an open discussion. Try that first. Well, I won't have you just breaking it off and saying, you know, oh, he just has a problem, I'm going to move on. First, let's talk to him. Let's tell him how you feel, listen to how he feels, and be sure he understands you want a relationship with him. Another option to salvage the relationship is therapy. I don't know who all agrees with the relationship therapy, but I imagine if he agrees to go with you, then you guys can get some therapy on whether or not he has commitment issues and what you guys can do to salvage the relationship. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I'm going to get in the chat room and see what everybody else is saying. If you would like to call and join in on the conversation, you can call us at... Oh, we have a caller. So let me take this call. Hello. Thank you for calling. Let's talk. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Are you speaking to me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, hi. Hey, we can really get this hopping and get to a solution if we really care to. You and I both know that women like challenges. They don't like the guy that's readily available. So somewhere in between is the solution. For women to want the guy that wants them, and I love to use this expression, women reject guys for being too nice. Have you ever heard of that?
Nice guys finish last.
Well, yeah, and the reason they finish last, let's go ahead and make that statement, is because women don't choose them. In other words, nice guys finish last with women who tend not to choose them. That's the complete statement on that particular expression.
Huh. Well, I heard that. So you say it's women. Women are not choosing these readily available fellas. Is that what you're saying? Hello?
Women, to make a statement like that, they don't like, women don't like nice guys, okay? They like guys that are a challenge. I don't know if you are a Christian, but are you, or do you have any respect for biblical statements?
Yes, sir, I am Christian.
All right, let's get rocking. The beginning with the best woman there was, Eve, Adam wasn't her priority. She left the good man, the superlative good man. Adam was very good, part of the crowning creation on the sixth day. She left him, and she didn't even consult him before she made a fatal decision. So I'm just using that as a backdrop to let you and any listeners know that women, the priority for women is not that a guy loved them and be completely in their corner. Who was more in Eve's corner than Adam was?
Well, I mean you're right, but you're wrong at the same time. Like,
I'm right and I'm wrong. Please explain.
Yeah, you're right and you're wrong, because I'm a woman and we're on two different planets. We have Mars and Venus. So,
wait a minute, who's on two different planets?
Men and women. We're not gonna agree. We're not gonna agree.
No. We can agree. Get this now. I understand. I'm a relationship troubleshooter. We can agree if we want to. Agreement between men and women, or indeed between any people, is a volitional choice. It's something that they decide to do. You could agree with me on a lot of things that you feel that benefit you.
Yes. That's
you're
right.
Damn right. So yeah. You're talking with a man who understands the issues at hand.
Okay. So on this issue of loving and being in love, I think the question that I was wanting to ask the viewers, so I'm glad you're on the line because I can get it straight directly from you. Let's see. My question was, if you're in a relationship and someone that you love or were in love with and they say to you, I love you, I adore you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, what are they saying to you?
There's a fundamental problem. Number one, you're probably in the relationship with the wrong person in the first place. All right? And now you're playing repair. And I agree with you, counseling and really getting out on the table, expelling, vomiting up, as you please, getting the issues out on the table. What the hell is wrong? See, I'm a person that repairs things. My background is engineering. Even if you have to reconstruct the thing, I understand that things can be repaired.
Right.
Okay. But preferably, I appreciate creating the thing the proper way in the first place. So oftentimes, people are with the wrong person, and that's the reason that things fall apart. Now, with respect to love as opposed to being in love, I know we make that distinction, but that just simply means a person that you love is not necessarily a person that you want to be with or even share your time with. In love refers to the intimate, dyadic relationship of being both emotionally and sexually connected. The male-female relationship is the most unique of all relationships. No other relationships do you become one except that of the male-female relationship.
Hmm.
And that relationship is supposed to supersede all other relationships because it is a relationship in perpetuity, means continuance. All other relationships end. Parent-child relationships end. And if parents have done their work properly, they send their children out into the world to recreate, hopefully, what they have implanted in them, those fundamental and foundational principles. The marital relationship is the only one where the man and woman leave father and mother, their most intimate connections, and then are joined to each other in an even more intimate connection.
Right, and that's straight from the good book, from the Bible. Sounds real familiar to me, the concept.
I reviewed my material before I called you.
I heard that. Go ahead and be prepared. What they say, proper preparation prevents poor performance. I like that.
I'm just kidding. I carry my reward with me. But the point is that we don't tend to discuss anything. We're very inept. And most of us are not going to survive relationship-wise. Let's just get that out on the table. Our society does not prioritize and promote relationships as the highest ideal. It basically promotes what you were attempting to say earlier, confusion between men and women. There's a lot of profit. There's profit in the courts. There's profit in the economic community to have men and women fighting with each other, getting divorces, creating kids that they don't agree on how to raise. All of that generates tremendous profits for people who are in those businesses. So only the people that understand the situation and understand themselves and each other well enough to step around that garbage and really connect to each other are going to be able to do it. And that's going to be a bare bones few of us.
Well, I agree. And normally I don't agree with a whole lot of things, but when you take it from a Christian standpoint and you look at it in terms of something deeper, and like I was saying earlier, if you're married to someone, is to me is different than a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. I have a duty to stick through this and rebuild this relationship. Would you say you like to reconstruct and rebuild? Well, when you're married, you have a duty to do that.
The thing of it is, you know, there is a connectivity between the person you're dating, the person who you are in dating, and the person whom you are in marriage. So there is a connectivity. It's still you, and, you know, you lead up to that point. I love to use the example of the boxer. If you think you're going to be a champion just by jumping in the ring without practice, you're going to find yourself staring up at the ceiling. In other words, you're going to be knocked the hell out. And the same thing is true with a relationship. You've got to prepare for it. I do recommend men and women dating multiple people. Now, here comes the rub. This is the problem. You get a lot of women who are generally entitled. They want the man to pay for them even though they're not committed to the man. So what I suggest there for serious daters and people who really want a relationship is to do things that cost minimally. Keep sex and money out of the equation early on. Keep sex and money out of the equation entirely. In other words, meet at the park, meet at the coffee shop. Really discuss issues. Don't just play grab butt. Talk about real things, conflict resolution, talk about money, about sex, talk about preparation for sex, and what are each of your responsibilities. Is the woman's actual responsibility, in preparation for sexual involvement? I would say at minimum getting a checkup to make sure you don't have STDs, and, you know, getting proper birth control. And I'm often asked, how long should it be before your first sexual encounter? I say it could easily be, if you're doing it properly, 6 months to a year, because you're enjoying each other. And most importantly in a relationship are the personalities of the two people, that you're able to enjoy that person's personality. If a man is spending money on a woman, she may not even like him. She likes the money she's getting. I don't know if you heard about this incident, but this happens all the time. But in New York, where a woman had a spreadsheet, men she had met on Match.com, and she was supplementing her income up to $1,200 a month, getting free food by running slams and scams on men. Did you hear about that?
No, I hadn't heard about that, so that's interesting.
Yeah, but you know it happens. Most dates that women go out on, they expect men to pay for them, even though women make their own money, and that is very unfair. And by the way, when a man or a woman finds a man or a woman that's unfair with their money, it's a good chance, that's a good indicator, they're not a good person to be involved with.
Well, that's true. I mean, me myself, when I first go onto a date with someone, I immediately want it to be 50-50 so that you don't feel any obligation to this thing, and that you don't feel like I have any obligation to it because you're paying.
Now, the question I would like to ask you, if you don't mind my asking a rather probative question, do you?
No, go ahead.
All right. Now, have you ever actually liked any guys? Got seriously involved with any guys that allowed you to go Dutch, that is 50-50 in the way that you say it? Have you ever found yourself liking guys that didn't pay for you?
No.
How did I guess
well,
that?
Well, in the meme, So, okay, the way that I look at that is in terms of respect. See, I'm country. I was raised country. So I see that in terms of a respect thing. If a man, and it depends on how it happens. If a man asks me to go anywhere with him, respectfully, I would think that he would be paying for the occasion that I was invited to.
Yeah, but now, importantly, do you ask men out?
Sure, yes, I do.
Do you pay when you ask them out?
Occasionally.
Okay. So
I think maybe I just wanted to know, in a sense, sometimes, I'll say sometimes, in occasion, I still may want to know whether or not he could have supplied his own had it been needed. So I still want to know that you're good yourself.
Yeah, well, just ask. See, that's the thing. The most important things, money, sex, and various other things, we're stupid on those. We all of a sudden become deaf mute. And that's horrible. That means we don't know anything until we actually – that's almost letting a pilot do in-flight training.
Right. I know what you mean.
Would you
like
want
you're already
that?
In the relationship.
Excuse me?
No.
Yeah,
said,
that's
exactly
what you do. That's the reason relationships crash and burn, is because people don't talk about anything of any consequence that is a relationship bearer or a relationship sustainer. That is having real communication, getting to know each other, and getting to know what each other is going to provide in the context of the relationship. I mean, it's easy for me to stand back and see why relationships fail repeatedly with people, because they, number one, they do the same dumb thing, and they do the same dumb thing over and over again. So the outcome is quite predictable.
Well, we
and the
sure,
other,
we.
We don't like to, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Yeah, we don't like to apply reason and rationale to relationships. We want it to be all emotional. So when a woman likes a guy, I've just sat back. I love people watching, and I've noticed five criteria that women use in selecting men: height, age, cute. And he's too nice. Those are the five superficialities that women use. Where she could be a 5'1" woman, but she wants a 6'9" guy. That's her criteria for love. Now, I'm using a little bit of hyperbole, but not much. I'm really, there are women like that. And most women are like that. Then they want a man, they age. Well, he's got to be 2 years older than me, 2 years under than me.
Yes, preferences. We all have to have them.
Yeah, but you got to understand the difference between wants and needs and negotiables and non-negotiables. And most women confuse non-negotiables with negotiables. And that's where there's a problem. Because a woman saying, guys are too nice, therefore I'm rejecting you. That's insane. And then we say, and then I hear women say, well, there are no guys. No, 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 no. There are plenty of guys, good guys. You just tend not to like them. When you start adding up all the superficial criteria that you use to reject guys, hell, you would reject Jesus Christ if he was available for dating relationship. He wouldn't pass your crazy, unreasonable test. And the women's standards are not too high. I vehemently detest that. Their standards are unreasonable, and it is women that do the choosing. And you guys have, men have basically pushed out, and they're scared to even talk to you according to reality. So it's not that there are no men available. There are still plenty of good men. It's just that women tend not to like good men. I don't know if you've heard Mary J. Blige sung. She says the bad guys ain't no good, but they still like bad guys. and she says that the good guys ain't no fun. That is the most stupid statement that one could ever make, because if you are fun, combine your fun with the good guy, and you've got a match.
Well, sounds like a plan. I really can't answer that. I can't say that all women are like that. I really can't.
No. You can ask me. I can answer it for you. There's no doubt about that. About 85 to 90% of women are that way. We don't need to know all of anything to know something definitive about something. No, it's not all women, but it is the vast majority of women.
Okay, so are you the good guy that normally gets the short end of the stick?
Well, let's leave that up to your speculation.
The point of it is,
I can pretty much get any woman I want. The thing of it is the conditions under which you get a woman. Most women are for sale. Most of your attractive women that would be appealing physiognomically or from a physical standpoint, these women are showing their coochies on some internet, or they're involved in some video, some sordid, disgusting video. Usually it's something sexual with men who care little more about them than they do a used Kleenex. So we know where the quality women are. And then the other problem is the few women that are left that are of relationship quality, they either do not make themselves available or they're caught up on some trick bag, as you say. But, so that's a big problem. That makes a woman as much, unavailable for a relationship as anything. If she won't show herself, she's hiding. She's waiting on the man to sniff her out. And most men, especially if they're quality men, they're busy. They don't have time to be trying to investigate the world to find you. You need to be proactive in that venue also. That is, women who want to be with in a quality relationship. These are some things that we never talk about.
I mean, I agree with you. I have friend girls, and we have the same conversations, that if we want better men, then we need to improve our lifestyles based on the men that we want to attract. If you are ghetto, you act ghetto, everything around you is ghetto, of course that's going to be what you attract. So if you want...
Yeah, and more important than that, if I just may say so, is to start talking to men. And you guys introduce, be a Barnabas, as it were. Barnabas was considered a peacemaker. That's in the New Testament. But at any rate, God was the first matchmaker. He brought the man and woman together. Eve wasn't playing hide and seek from Adam on the other side of the garden, and he had to go looking for her. No, that's non-adult, and that's sophomoric. God brought them together frontally so they could actually engage with each other directly. So that's the model. So that's what you guys do. You know quality men that your girlfriends may never meet. Intro them. Introduce them. Be proactive.
That's true. You're right. That's true.
Stop sitting on your thumbs and expecting to lay to hatch an egg. You know, get out there and involve yourself in a positive and proactive way.
Right. And then we attract those. We attract those good, nice, handsome fellas.
You've been a little slice of heaven here, so I'll just hang out and listen to you.
Okay, that'll work. For our callers, if you want to call in and let us know what you think, please do. Call us at area code 347-838-8622. Our conversation has been about today being in love and being in love. And I think we should take some more time and discuss this. Let me know what you think. I've been saying what I think the whole show, and I've had help in that. We've looked at infatuation in love, the difference between being infatuated with someone and actually loving someone. We've also talked about the differences between lusting after someone and being in love. Oftentimes we confuse sex with love or loving someone with having sex. That's not any good. So we need to know the differences. We have to sit down. We have to evaluate ourselves, as the caller said. We have to know what we want. We have to know what we want, and we have to be putting those good vibes, that good aura out there to get that good man. And one thing that he said that I really thought about is, you know, there are readily available guys. There are. That's true. And most of the time that guy is, like, right in front of you. It always seems to be that way. The quiet, nice one. You know, we wanted the bad boy, but the quiet, nice guy next door, we avoided on the way to the mailbox. So I guess I would say to us women, maybe we just need to step back and reevaluate what love is for us. What is love to you? And if you're in a relationship, have your partner sit down with you and tell you what attributes contribute to love for them and you. And, you know, compare that to what your own definition of love was. That's important. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break, a small break. I'm going to check the chat lines, and I want to hear from you. What's the differences between being in love and love? We'll take two and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Shasta Cole, standing in for Mr. Eric Jackson. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in area code 347-838-8622, or you can hit us on the chat line at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Now, if you're just now tuning in, our conversations today have been about love and being in love. Are there any real differences between being in love and loving? Can they be used vice versa? We discuss our definitions of love, what we saw as our meaning. And right now we're going to discuss. Well, I see we have a caller. Give me just a second. Yes. You're on the yes. air. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Is this my line?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Shasta, you are quite good at this. Normally, when people speak about this, like I say, they can't talk openly and honestly without fighting. And this is particularly true of women. Often, most women today would start fighting. They don't want to hear a man's point of view. They say they want to be with a man, but the moment he starts talking, they hate to hear what he has to say if it's not kissing up to them. And so this causes a huge problem. You're going to have to fight it out in the relationship, and which proves that you guys are incompatible. So if you can talk about these things up front, it's really a beautiful thing. You can get an education to a person that you otherwise wouldn't receive. At any rate, I just had that epiphany. I said, hey, she's good. So keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, caller, for that information. And another thing that I would like to mention before we get out of here this evening are signs and body language of falling in love. We talked a little bit about this. We're going to wrap it up with putting him first. People who are truly in love, they put their partner first. You'll find yourself doing anything in your power to make the other person happy and comfortable. Love doesn't mean being foolish. It means being considerate. Those who are in love don't think twice about spending extra time with their partner or spending extra money that they normally wouldn't spend. People who are in love think more about pleasing their partners than pleasing themselves. And that's very important as far as falling in love. Protective. When two people are in love, they're protective of one another. Their first instinct is to keep their partner away from any harm or danger. Protection can mean a lot of those things. People who are in love avoid hurting the other person's feelings. Protection of a physical nature applies as well. You know, when two people are truly in love, they never resort to physical violence with one another. We say that we argue and we fuss, but physical violence with one another, that is not a healthy protection in terms of true love. A healthy, loving relationship is when both parties do everything they can to prevent their partner from being unhappy. Priorities and prioritizing. Priorities often go out the window when two people fall in love. Have you ever realized that? When two people fall in love, they forget what their own goals were and what they were going to do with their own lives, and that cannot be any good. You have to prioritize. You have to keep your life and they keep theirs, and you guys can do this together. Prioritizing. Suddenly work and any other relationships don't seem quite as important as they used to be. When people first fall in love, they want to spend as much time together as they can, as they possibly can. Although it's not healthy to completely neglect your other relationships or obligations, a little distance from activities that don't involve your partner are expected to take a back seat for a while. We talked about body language. Physical affection is a sure sign of people who are in love. Though not all people are comfortable with displaying signs of affection in public, I call that PDA, which is public displays of affection. Me personally, I don't like to do all that in public. Doesn't mean I don't love you, just don't want to do the hug and kiss and all that mushy stuff in public. People who are in love hold hands, they hug, kiss, and caress each other. Those who are in love usually become physically intimate. Physical gestures such as cuddling, which may have never seemed appealing before, are suddenly appealing to those who are in love. When two people first fall in love, they may find it difficult to keep their hands off of each other. Today was a good show. I appreciate all the callers that called in. Today is a good show. And what I want to do is let the callers know that called in. We appreciate all the questions and comments. Also, we appreciate all your questions and comments on our chat line. If you want to call in and let us know what you think, you can call in at area code 347-838-8622, or you can hit us on the chat line at ericletstalk@gmail.com. My name is Shasta Cole, and today I was standing in for Mr. Eric Jackson. Hopefully tomorrow he'll be here with some more exciting news for you all. And, you know, I might join him and help him out a little bit from time to time. I think he needs a female perspective on things to get him together, keep him straight, things like that. I was looking into love and being in love today as far as our topics. I think it would be useful for us to do many more conversations just like this on sensitive subjects, such as gays and military and military veterans. And I'm a college student, so I acknowledge the differences between junior colleges and universities. And sometimes a lot of us aren't educated enough to know that maybe a junior college is best for you. Maybe you're not just ready to jump into a university. Maybe you need to do junior college before you can take the step to do anything more. So I think that we should come together, you know, and have deeper conversations. Men and women, because oftentimes women need a man perspective. We need to know from a man's point of view how certain things work, just as well as it's good for men to be able to listen to women. So we had a caller to call in, and he was saying, you know, communication is really important. We have to be able to receive each other's advice. I have to be able to tell you a point of view or give you a certain opinion, and you be willing to accept that. We actually have a caller, so hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I was calling to comment, and one of the things I wanted to say was I think that sometimes there's a gray area when you become involved with somebody, when you have feelings for them, especially when it comes to love and being in love. You know, there's a fondness that you feel for somebody. You know, you really like that person, and, you know, you take it further. What I'm having a difficult time wrapping my mind around is this thing where when you're in a relationship, oftentimes, especially when it's the beginning, be it the man or the woman, they may have a difficult time adjusting as it grows and it starts to fade, where you want to go back to yourself. See, I think that we have some sort of wires crossed where we don't know how to let a person, you know, it's okay to be in love. It's okay to acknowledge the person that you're with. But then there's a time when the man may want to go hang out with somebody, or the woman may want to go hang out with somebody. And because oftentimes people feel like, well, you're supposed to be with me, that's not always the case. And I feel like people need to know how to love without demanding of someone else's time, if that makes sense. Because you may be used to spending so much time with that person when they say, well, hey, I want to go over here and do this. You know, it may cause a person to feel like you don't want them. You know, and so that's why I'm thinking, you know, a lot of things have to be considered when you talk about love and being in love and how, you know, everybody's not healthy when it comes to love because they bring baggage sometimes.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know? And so that's why I was thinking, you know, and I hear you say this, I'm thinking, that's how I feel like some people, especially women and some men, get caught up in relationships where the person that they are with, they don't realize it's controlling until they decide to say, I want to go hang with some friends. And they say, well, why would you want to do that? You know, so that's why I'm thinking, you know, yeah, you want to put other people first, but you want to always remember who you are within that relationship. Because all too often times, people forget who they are, what their dreams are, what they like to do, because they want to make that person happy.
Right.
And that's right. not what it is. It's about you within that relationship. So you're happy within it. But when it gets to a point where that other person is unhappy with what you want to do for yourself, you have a problem. That's a problem.
Right.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't care for somebody, because you should. But you know, how am I to put you first when what I want to do is not as important to you? See, that's, we have a, you know what I'm saying? We have a,
right. That's
there's
deep
a glitch
right
here.
Right, that's deep
okay.
right there. Right, you're saying I have these interests. These are things that interest me as well as you. And because I want this thing to work, I understand that I have unique abilities and so do you. So we can put those things together and move forward, but I'm still an individual. And I think that's where I was thinking as far as prioritizing. And, you know, us women learning to keep our goals and keep our head on straight and keep working toward things that we were wanting to do before we ever stepped into a relationship with a man. You know, you have to
keep
yourself.
But that's what I've noticed. I'll hear men say, well, when I want to go have fun, she'll get upset. Or when I want to do such and such, and I'm thinking to myself, as I really sit back and analyze and talk to men and women, oftentimes women will put what's important to them on hold. Or when she speaks about what she wants, the man may say, well, what you want to do that for? Or whatever the case may be. So she may become resentful of him because he's pursuing what he wants to do, but he has stagnated her.
I feel you.
Or there are times when let's reverse it. There are times when a man has allowed the woman to do something, and then when he's ready to do something, she'll stagnate him. And,
right.
You know, so it can work both ways. Now, I'm not, you know, just taking sides and saying in the relationship, everybody's mind needs to be grounded.
Right, the communication is not there.
So, you know. But, you know, it's communication, and it's also, you know, when you love somebody, you really need to be open. And I find that if you cannot be open and share, and even though they may disagree, you still be left with your dignity, we have a problem.
You are absolutely right, and I feel the same way, that I should be able to tell you how I feel, what ground I stand on, and for you to be able to receive that.
Whether you agree or not.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I should feel comfortable enough to tell you how I feel because I care about you and because I love you. I mean, it can even go as far as just I care. I care enough about you, and if you care about me, then you're willing to listen to whatever it is I have to say. We actually have another caller. Give me 1 second. We're going to let him comment on this situation.
Yeah. Is this me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point you're making there. It's a very, very important point. But this is the solution to that point, is, as the lady Shasta said, you need to communicate that. Look, a relationship is about spending time with the person in whom you are in the relationship with. So you shouldn't be vague. If let's just be candid here. Your job occupies some time, and you may have other obligations. But those need to be fitted into your schedule with the other person. Like, for example, there was a woman I knew not long ago, a very nice woman, attractive, everything, got it going on. And she asked me, she says, well, why haven't you asked me out or something of that nature? And I said, well, I looked at your time schedule, and you're just too busy. You don't have any time. I said, I would feel guilty even asking you to do anything. So the point is, just wanting a relationship is not enough. You've got to feed that relationship. That relationship requires nurturing. And you need to know if you have the time to spend. Because what you'll do, if you tell a person who wants to be with you, well, I don't have time, and you don't make it clear to them when you're going to give them time, they just may, you know, brace you, pencil you out, or at least change their attitude about their seriousness with you. You need to be, as Shasta said, you need to be clear about the time you have available and the time you'll spend with the person. It's fine to cut back. I mean, vicissitudes happen. Changes in circumstances of life occur. But you need to communicate that to the person. And sometimes you may need to go to an intelligent, objective third party to help communicate on this issue. Does that clear it up a little bit? Does that give a little bit more definition or detail?
I think you cleared it up just fine. Is the other caller on the line?
I'm still here.
Yes, ma'am. Do you think that cleared it up for you? Would you like to comment on that?
I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't. It's not that I didn't have any, you know, clarity on it. I was just saying that as far as when people are, you know, moving into this relationship, one of the things that I feel like should be paid attention to is who you are going into it. Because oftentimes people do put someone else they're in love with first, to the point where they avoid who they are, or they're, you know, I won't even say avoiding as much as they're not putting themselves first, and so the other person may get used to you not putting yourself first. And so it's imperative that as you move through this relationship, you still remember who you are. You know, that's what I'm saying it for, as opposed to, you know, he's saying, speaking on about sharing time and communicating, and I get that. But I'm also looking at it on another level. As you move into intimate time with this person, you don't want to, you know, give yourself over to the point where what's important to you becomes cast to the wayside.
Give me an example of that. Can you cite an example of exactly what you mean?
What I mean?
Yes.
That may be that if a man wanted to go back to school, but he didn't push his way through school, he might have mentioned it to the woman, and for whatever reason, other things came up, and he never, you know, let's say he wants to bring it back up, and she dismisses it. Or he may decide that once a year he's going to go out with his frat brothers, and she might have known about it because she went to the first frat party with him, and then the next time he wants to go alone, she may act as if she didn't hear him or schedule a trip at the same time he wants to go to where he wants to go. It's kind of like when you manipulate somebody else's time. And I'm using it in retrospect for a man with a woman being manipulative of a man, because I don't want to feel like I'm attacking men, because women do it to men, and men do it to women. It's not a gender thing. It's what people do. And that's why I'm saying is, you may say, well, I don't want to say anything to my partner because they may become upset about it. Or every time I bring it up, it becomes something that we just end up talking about something else because it's not something I want. I don't know if you saw Think Like a Lady. I mean, Think Like a Man, but it's kind of like when Gabrielle Union played the role with the guy who had all these little toys and trinkets in the house. And she's like, I've put up with this stuff for so long. I put you first, and this is all I want from you, and I'm not getting it. Okay? So she put a lot of what she wanted on the back burner, and she walked around with it.
But let me say this now, if I can just freeze frame right there, just to address that, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. See, that was her problem. She was the poor communicator in that particular instant. And that's the whole point. Everything in a relationship is going to relate or hinge upon effective communication. So her putting things on the back burner that she was actually holding him accountable for and maybe building up some degree of resentment was actually her fault. Do you see that?
Hold on a minute. I'm not trying to do the fault blame thing. What I'm saying is this, and there were times in the movie, if you were paying attention, she mentioned it to him, and he would dismiss it.
Okay. Well, then, all right. Now they have a communication.
That's what I'm saying is, she was just trying to have a civil conversation with her.
And let me just say this. People have to be accountable at areas that require accountability. We just can't go through an issue blindly if we're going to resolve issues. It's up to her to bring it up, and if he doesn't pay attention to it, it's up to her to bring it up that he's not paying attention to it. And so still you're back in the square arena of communication. And if he won't listen to her over a period of time, she may have to rethink whether she should be in a relationship with this kind of, with this person. So that's the that's a resolution to concern that you're raising. Hello?
Awesome. Well, I thank you all for calling and giving us your opinions and your comments. I also thank all of my chat room visitors who let us know what they thought. We're going to wrap up the show for today. Thank you, callers.
Shasta, just one quick point, if I may.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Some people, you got to realize this. Many people are more invested in drama than resolution. In other words, they prefer the drama. The drama is more emotionally appealing and exciting to them than solving any particular issue and moving on with love with the person you're supposed to be in love with and loving. So just one just has to keep that in their mind's eye, that, that a lot of people see the drama of a relationship more, they put more priority on it, either due to action or inaction, than they do resolving actual issues. Thanks.
Thank you for calling, everyone. Today was an awesome show. My name is Shasta Cole. I was standing in for Mr. Eric Johnson. Call us tomorrow. And let us know what you think. 347-838-8622. Thank you.